Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1, verses 13 through 21. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. For it is written, "Be holy, because I am holy." Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him. And so your faith and hope are in God. This is the word of the Lord.
And thank you, Scott. That is a sobering passage of Scripture. There's a lot of things in there to think about. The holiness of God. What does it mean that God is holy? What are some things that come to your mind in regard to that?
Set apart.
Set apart. Good. Perfect.
Pure.
He's pure.
Without sin.
Without sin. Yeah. All those things are true. God is holy. I find the holiness of God to be somewhat of an intimidating doctrine. In a lot of ways, I'm intimidated by the holiness of God. I think back to the passages that say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with his glory." God is holy. And when I come to a passage like this that says, "You, be holy as God is holy." I don't know about you. How does that make you feel? Be holy as God is holy. Be holy because I am holy. As he who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. Are you holy? I'm going to let that question just hang right here in the air above your heads for a minute. Are you holy? Can I just note some observations? One, it is not an easy question to answer, as noted by the lack of answers. Two, I am seeing people shaking their head yes, and I'm seeing people shaking their head no. Which is interesting to me. Are you holy?
Not yet.
I'm getting more stronger yeses and more stronger noes and a whole lot of confusing looks.
Don't ask my wife.
We're going to unpack this just a little bit. And, you know, one of the things... If we study the attributes of God, these characteristics of God, these things about God that are true, God's holiness is one of those attributes of God. You can say God is holy. That is true about him. Some of God's attributes are shared. They're communicable with us. They're shared with us. We can be that too. Other attributes are not. They're unique to God. God is omnipresent. Nobody here will ever be omnipresent. God is omniscient. He has all knowledge of all things, everywhere, all the time. None of us will ever have that. God is all powerful. That is unique to him. No other created being will ever be able to say that. God is holy, and somehow that is a shared attribute. Because he asks us, he tells us, be holy as I'm holy. So somehow you and I can be holy as well, which blows my mind. I almost think maybe it would be easier for me to actually be all powerful than it would be to be holy. Some days it feels like that might be true, not because I incline toward being all powerful in any way, but because holiness feels so far from me. So how is it that God calls us to be holy as he is holy? How does he call us to share that attribute with us? I want to develop a little bit about how we get there, but first what I want to talk with you about this morning is how we don't. If we miss some of the theological reasons why we can share that attribute with God, we will end up heading into some pitfalls real quick. So I want to just share a little bit about that. What are some of the things, some of the pitfalls that we could avoid, some of the difficulties not to get into? So before we do that, would you pray with me for a moment and just let's ask God. Let's talk to God who's holy. Father, we just pause here for a moment, acknowledge, first of all, your presence in this room. And secondly, we acknowledge your word, which is true and good, and it doesn't lead us astray. It leads us to you. And so, Lord, we just acknowledge too that we're talking about what you said. So as we do, I pray that your spirit who's in this room will help us to understand. If I'm wrong on something, just help that not to matter and just correct that. Give us grace where we can understand. Help us to understand well. We ask you for help. If you want us to be holy, God, then we want to be holy. It's your will. It's your desire. So help us, Lord, here this morning, even as we just talk about this, in Jesus' name, amen. I want to start by just saying with good clarity, you and I cannot generate holiness. You want to be holy? Great. I want to be holy? Good. God tells us we should be holy. If I try to generate that holiness, I'm going to be in trouble. We watched a little bit of tennis in our house, and I noticed that beginner tennis players just kind of swing the tennis racket at the ball, but they don't really say anything. As the tennis players advance, they start to grunt when they swing the ball. And professional tennis players, it's almost comical. They're like screaming at the ball every time they swing the racket. There's like they're pulling from this energy deep inside of them. Like if I can just pull up somehow enough energy and translate it into the way I'm smacking this ball, it'll help me to play tennis better. And as believers, sometimes we think, well, as a Christian, if I just generate enough effort or desire, I can pull this godly thing right out of my own gut and cause it to be true. I don't think that works with our holiness. It's a natural tendency for us, but if we think that we can draw holiness out of my self-deceived, sinful heart, I'm going to fail. It's not going to be the holiness of God that's coming out of my heart. God's word warns me about trusting my own heart or trusting my own mind or my own thoughts. But not to lean on that, but to lean on him, to trust him, to have faith in him. I can't generate the holiness that God is calling me to have here. I can put in effort, I can put in work, but I can't generate holiness. If we say, hey, church, we should be holy. Here's the areas to be holy in. And a lot of churches have done this. You should dress a certain way when you come to church. You know, you can't. What do you, I see people wearing shorts and jeans. What? I mean, I like to wear jeans every Sunday, partly as a counter to growing up in churches, they used to say, if you dress a certain way, you'll be more holy. And I don't believe that's true, because I think that's part of, in a sense, trying to generate some holiness that I can't generate in and of myself. If we try to generate holiness from in me and not from God, we're going to end up in trouble. He tells us here in verse 14, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy as I am holy. Since you call on a father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. Give me some emotion words. How do you feel as you hear words like that? Feel scared. Yep.
Challenged.
Worried. Yeah, I can resonate with those things. And I think that's a good and appropriate response before the holiness of God. I mean, that's kind of why humanity lost our fellowship with God. When we sinned, we fell out of God's holiness. We became common. We became of the earth, not separate, not of God. That's the thing that needs to be corrected in us in order for us to have a relationship with him. So we need to be able to stand in his holiness. So it causes some concern as we're told to be holy. But I can't generate it on my own, and neither can you. When we try to generate holiness, I'm just going to stop doing this. I'm just going to start doing this. If I can keep myself from, and those kind of statements, then I'll be acceptable to God. I'll be set apart. I'll be holy. Then we're going to run into some pitfalls. One of those pitfalls is we could become a judgmental people. We could become a judgmental people in a couple of ways. I mean, you could judge me every time I fail because I won't do it well or perfectly. I could judge you every time you stumble and fall. Or what we could do, and this would be way more fun, let's just band together and judge all of those bad people out there in the world because they're not holy and we're trying to be holy. So we're better than them. Right? I mean, I'm going to do that. I'm going to sign up for that. A lot of churches have done that. A lot of Christians have done that, where we kind of go, hey, we're working at this, but look out there at this group of people. Look at who was just in the news. Look at this other political party. This is like constant in the world of politics and social media. And look at this. Let's judge them as being ridiculous and unholy, and then we'll feel better about ourselves. As if our holiness is measured somehow against someone else who doesn't even know Jesus. You think God's going, well, at least they're not as bad as them. So I think I'll give them some space in my holy home in heaven. It's a silly idea. It's not how God measures us, so we shouldn't be measuring the world that way. There's another risk that if I'm trying to generate holiness on my own, and this is one that maybe I struggle with a little more, is I'm at risk of just being really, feeling really discouraged and defeated because I will fail. I will fail. And this is one I do struggle with. Every Sunday morning, I appreciate the worship team. It was really great to hear some testimony this morning. But while these guys are singing, part of what I'm doing is I'm standing up over here, and I'll sing a little bit with you guys. And part of it is as I stop doing it and I pray, because I have sins that I have to confess to God before I can stand up here. every Sunday. I haven't gotten to a Sunday yet where I'm like, oh, whew, I made it all week. I can stand up here holy and sanctified. I'm like, God, why would you use me? And here's a way I blew it, and here's a way I blew it, and here's a way I fell short. Here's something I just blatantly, deliberately sinned against you because I wanted to, and I just confess these sins. I am not a holy man. I mean, at least I prove that I'm not each week in my actions. I have a lot of maturing and growing to do and understanding of what that means, but I have to confess those sins. And if I'm thinking my holiness is dependent on me, I'm going to be discouraged. That wouldn't be enough for me to be able to feel like I can stand here and talk to you. That's a risk we need to be careful about, you know, so that we're not just in self-defeat. Another pitfall we could easily do is we could all just try to fake it with one another. Let's just fake it. Like, we're supposed to be holy, so I don't really want to know about your sins. You don't really want to know about mine. So let's just choose to smile when we come to church, regardless of how we're feeling. Let's just choose to speak in a way, let's use Christianized language about things. Let's just fake it. In fact, even sometimes as we share our struggles or our potential sins, you know, we'll use nicer language about it. You know, like I might say, you know, pray for me. I'm just struggling a little bit with generosity. I think I need to grow a little bit. But what I really might mean is I don't tithe at all, and I help no one. I am totally selfish with my money, right? We can use different words because we kind of want to keep our sins a little bit under the surface, and then if we feel better about ourselves. I don't know about you. I've done that before. I struggle with that one because I don't really want you to know. I don't want you to see all my struggles. You might judge me, and I don't want you to judge me. And one thing you'll notice about all these pitfalls and all these efforts is they're all some stuff that I'm doing on my own, you're doing on your own. We're not even talking about the Father. We're not talking about the work of Jesus Christ. We're not talking about what the Holy Spirit is doing in us at all. We have left all of that when we try to generate holiness on our own. But I think we do that pretty easily and pretty often. And when God calls us to be different, he calls us to be different. The fact is, a lot of churches aren't living out the gospel. And when the Barna and some of these groups do these studies, there is virtually no statistical difference between the moral living of Christians and non-Christians in a whole bunch of categories. Divorce rates are pretty close to the same. Addictions are pretty close to the same. I mean, you can go right down the line. Because we're trying to effort some kind of holiness out of our own gut instead of out of the heart of God himself. So what does it mean to be holy? Where does that come from? There's good news. Holiness doesn't just come from an overbearing expectation of God on you. Holiness comes from the generous gospel of Jesus Christ. Holiness flows from the gospel. I want us to take a look at some specific ways. If you're going to be holy, which God's commanding you to be, if I'm going to get it right and do that, where does that come from? It comes when we lean into the gospel, not from in me. It comes from God. Holiness is built upon grace. It's built on the grace of God. The grace of God was when I was accepted, shown grace and mercy, accepted into God's family when I wasn't holy. It was while I was still a sinner that Christ died for me. I didn't earn that. It was the grace of God giving me, giving you something we don't deserve, this life and salvation. Our holiness is built on the grace of God, first and foremost. Back in the beginning of 1 Peter, we're still in chapter 1, so it's kind of like right in the same context. In verse 2, he said, you've been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. The Father chose you. He's like, I'm going to give grace to you. I'm going to give grace to you. Before you had anything to say about it, before you accepted or rejected Jesus, before you did anything right or wrong, God looked at you and picked you and said, I'm going to give grace to you. It's through the sanctifying work of the Spirit. You know what the word sanctify means? Make holy. It's literally the same word in the Greek language. Holy, sanctified. They could be just two English words translating the same one. So the holy making work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in you. If you're a follower of Jesus, if you're a member of the family of God, the Holy Spirit's in you. You know what he's doing? He's sanctifying you. That's his work. He's making you holy. He's just saying, cooperate with me while I do this. Stop fighting me. But come with me, man. Cooperate with me. We can quench the Spirit's fire. We can put that out and do stupid things. We can do that. We all know that because we've all done that. But God's like, no, Holy Spirit's in you. Like, I speak with a pretty still, quiet voice, but I'm working to make you holy. Just cooperate with me. Your effort's not generating it. Your effort's coming alongside of the one who's come alongside of you, cooperating with the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkling by his blood. Where does the holiness come from? Well, Jesus modeled what it looks like to live a holy life, and he taught us what it looks like to live a holy life. So we just follow his example. We obey the words that he said and the sprinkling of his blood. He actually then also died to save and redeem our soul so that we could actually be able to obey his commands and follow his example. If we're not saved, we don't have a chance being like Jesus. But it's our salvation from him and then learning how to walk in him. And then he finishes, so he's like, Father, the Spirit, the Son. And then right away he says, grace and peace be yours in abundance. The grace of God is pouring out on you because of what Jesus has done. Amen? And I'm so thankful. That's cool. That's cool. That's where our holiness comes from. It comes from the gospel that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit were involved in. If I were to say, hey, I want you to jump up about 3 feet in the air. Crampy could do it. You're in great shape. Enviable fitness over there. Jump up about 3 feet in the air. I don't think I could jump 3 feet in the air. And then stay there. Stay there. Stay at 3 feet in the air. I want to see that. Okay. I could ask you to try, which would be kind of fun. If you could get there, I have a feeling you'd come right back down. And that's like what it feels like to me sometimes when I hear, be holy, is God is holy? I don't know if I can jump that high, and I certainly won't stay there. And yet, in a sense, here I am standing in front of you about 3 feet off the ground with very little effort because somebody built a stage. Somebody built a platform. Somebody did something. All I had to do is walk up a nice, easy ramp. And I just get to stand here on the work that somebody else did. It's not hard. And I'm standing 3 feet above the ground that you're standing on. Impossible for me to do. But I'm standing on the work of other people. Our holiness is impossible for us to do. But it's actually not that hard. Because Christ, the Father, the Spirit, the Son made that accessible, placed us in Christ, made that something we have, we can do, we can live into it. And all we have to do is stand on the work of Jesus. And we can actually rest standing on the work of Jesus, doing something impossible for a person to do. Verse 13, therefore, prepare your minds for action, be self-controlled, set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. It's by grace. It's not something that you and I can do on our own. It's something that's been done for us, but we can stand in that. Our holiness was supported by our Father who loves us. Our holiness is supported by our Father. It says in verse 14, as obedient children. When he calls us to be holy, he's calling us to be holy as children who are obeying God. But think about that, children of God. Are you a child of God? Are you a child of God? There we go. Did you do something that made you so good that God was like, oh, okay, yep, you've earned that. You're going to be a child of God. No, we didn't. He reached out to us when we were helpless, little, powerless, failing, and adopted us into his family, gave us his name. Since you call on a father, in verse 17, since you call on a father, man, God chose you, he redeemed you, he saved you, adopted you, accepts you, he poured his grace out on you, and then he says, and now be holy like me. Take my name. Live like Jesus lived. Be like God. Think the thoughts of God in the sense of, like, love the things that God loves. Avoid the things that God hates. Be like God. Be holy as God is holy. It's not something that we have to figure out. It's just a natural outgrowth of the gospel. He's given us his word, by the way. If you have any questions about how to understand that more, read this book. It's right there. And our holiness, it's Christ in us. It's not me just being a better me. It's me having Christ in me and then experiencing and living Christ. It says in verse 18 and 19, you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. I'm blemished. I'm defective. That's the sin in me. I'm failing. And so I needed a Savior who is without blemish, without defect, and that was Jesus. Perfect and holy. So that's already happened. So we've been redeemed in Christ. So it comes back around to the first question. Are you holy? And we're like, well, yes, of course. No, I'm not. I don't know. Somewhere in between. You know, in a sense, you're all right. You're all correct in that. In that struggle, you can see the Apostle Paul struggle with that, Romans 7. I mean, there's a struggle in that. But the truth of it is Jesus Christ is holy. We have the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, if you remain in me, if my words remain in you. So we've been bound to Christ when we trust him by faith. The Apostle Paul often says we've been placed in Christ. He uses this phrase a lot, in Christ. You live in Christ. So when God looks at you, does he look at you and go, oh, really? Oh, again? Gosh, this person's so disappointing. I don't even want to be around him. Does God see us that way? He would without Jesus. Because our sin is a stench to him, but we're in Christ. So when he looks at us, he's like, ah, yes, perfected, holy, good. I'm seeing my son in that person. The redemption of the image of God in that person. And he loves us completely. We're in Christ. All the things that are true about Jesus are true about us. And yet, we're in this progress of growth. So it's true about us. We stand on the foundation of Jesus. We will one day all be fully perfected. But we're not perfect now. John Wesley used to teach this idea of perfectionism. That if you just walk with Jesus for enough years, in your older years, you will be perfect. You will never sin again. I don't know, I think Moose may be there. Cheryl? No, okay, Cheryl says no. I've always thought, what a strange kind. I mean, John Wesley, I get it theologically. He's like, if it's true of Jesus, it's becoming more true in us. And that's true. But do we ever get there without God finally saying, you know what, as long as you're alive in this body, you're not there yet. Let's get past that and give you this eternal body and eternal soul in heaven where you will be complete. And I'm looking forward to that day. Because until then, I'm in this middle place where I'm like, yeah, I can grow, and I have good days and bad days, and I get really frustrated, but I have to come back to Jesus and say, but I'm going to stay anchored in Christ. Because I'm in a process. I'm in a growth process, and so are you. Where, as we trust Christ and walk with him, it does get better. It does get better. And I'm so thankful for that. I've lost my place. Isn't that fun? And so as people who are anchored in Christ, who are growing in Christ, who are being changed in Christ, God calls us to be holy. Start back in verse 14 again. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. Okay, we're not ignorant about Jesus anymore. We're not ignorant about where salvation comes from. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Since you call on a father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. God expects us to be different from the world around us that doesn't know Jesus. It fits with, it connects to this theme in 1 Peter of being strangers, of being aliens. Like we've just arrived in a country that's not our own. We're here for a little while, but our allegiance is to God and his country. And so we will feel like strangers and aliens, especially as we grow in holiness. You and I will become more and more different than the people around us, which is great. As I see this world struggle in such painful ways. I see this world struggle without hope. They need Jesus. As we become more and more rooted in our eternal hope, we become different. And God expects us to be different, to cooperate with his Spirit, to not conform with the evil desires we had when we were younger, but to be thinking, what are God's desires? What does God want? What are God's thoughts? So it's not just like repent or cooperate or try a little harder. It's not about trying harder. It's about repenting. It's about admitting whenever I get off track and I'm working really hard to give myself what I want and I realize, oh, you dummy, I'm missing out on the grace and beauty of God by pursuing a cheap substitute of that in this earth or by living in fear or something else that's keeping me from that, we repent. I say, God, let's name this biblically. This is sin. I'm turning away from it. I want to be restored to you. Help me. And we come back in humility, in the fear of the Lord, in sometimes sorrow and anguish. Because we want to be rooted in Christ and live that out every day. Every day. And so we repent and we come back. And we anchor ourselves in God. This is one of the reasons why the Lord gave us the Lord's Prayer. If you're not sure what to pray every day, just recite the Lord's Prayer and talk through that. Our Father, who is in heaven, holy is your name. May your kingdom come, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so I do that often because I need to just stop. When I pray, we've talked about this before, when I pray, I'll often be like, okay, God, here's my list. Here's the stuff I want. And I'm like, oh, whoops, that's not okay. That's a little arrogant. Let me humble myself and just say, God, you are holy. You are holy. And it leads me to repentance every single day in light of the holiness of God. So use the Lord's Prayer. It will be really helpful for you to just kind of give you a daily reset. Also, one thing that was helpful for me when I was very young, somebody told me, Jesus is with you everywhere you go. When you sit down to watch TV, Jesus is with you watching TV with you. When you go play with your friends. Jesus is with you. He's playing with your friends with you. Like, Jesus is with you everywhere you go. It's a little bit of a manipulative, like, don't do anything that would make Jesus upset, and you won't therefore be making anybody else upset. But it's also a good thing to begin to get comfortable living in the presence of God. The reality, because that's actually true. And so do I run around in this world and do things for me in a way that would be not honoring to him, or am I going around looking for ways to please the Lord in my life? And so that was helpful for me. But the bottom line, though, is the holiness, the key to having holiness in this life is coming back to our roots of the gospel. The reason that we're saved and in God's family, being anchored in the roots of the gospel. That's why in Philippians 1, 27, it says, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. How do I conduct myself? What does living out holy look like? Looks like do it in a manner worthy of the gospel. It's in the middle of the book of Ephesians 2. He talks about theology and your salvation for three chapters. Then he spends three chapters talking about how do we now live as holy people in this world. And the middle verse was just like, if these things are true about Jesus in you, then just live like that's true. Live as if that's true. Live as if you're a member of God's family. Live as if God has saved you and released you from sin. Live as if our eternal home is in heaven. Like, think about things that are true because of the gospel and just live that out. Essentially, that's what it is. And I love it. It's simple and it's good. And it helps me when I struggle with trying to generate holiness and I fall into all these pitfalls to just remember, I'm just living out life with Jesus. That's what Jesus said in John 15, like, just remain in me and man, you're going to bear all kinds of spiritual fruit that you can't generate outside of me. Stay in Christ. Stay in Christ and we'll grow in holiness. A couple of next steps to keep in mind. One of them is if you didn't read the first book of 1 Peter last week, read that this week. Just kind of read it or read it once a week and just let that theme marinate. I really think that this season of this summer, the changes we have coming at Antioch, the changes we have in our political cycle, 1 Peter is where we want to be. There's some themes in here that'll be really helpful for us. So if you would even just commit to reading it once a week, I think God will use that to really help you. And then the second thing is take one thing, one area of struggle in your life and apply the gospel to it. I mean, you can say, hey, I'm going to change this thing. I'm going to drink less. I'm going to talk to people differently and not be so critical. I'm going to, whatever. You pick that thing, but don't fall back into trying harder. Pick that thing and go, what would it mean to apply the gospel to that? What would it mean to treat myself and other people the way God treats me? To see that the way God sees it. Apply the gospel to that and let God's Holy Spirit work a work of sanctification in you, making you more holy as he is holy. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to take a look at this text and understand more about your holiness. It's incredible. Someday we'll just stand right there in your holiness and in your glory. There won't be any fear or shame or nervousness or evaluation of whether we're good enough. We'll just stand there in it and soak it in and give you more glory and tell you that you are holy again and again because it's true. And we just look forward to basking in the light of who you are. But Father, in this in-between stage as we live in this world, would you help us to become more? We know you've already done so much to help us. Help us to remember what you've done. Help us to walk with Jesus, to cooperate with your Holy Spirit so that we can become more and more holy. So people in this world will look at us and say, wow, they're different. Help us to be a light. Help us to bear your truth. Help us to be your people, your ambassadors, your representatives on this earth. In Jesus' name I pray.